Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you deeply. Would you open your Bible to Romans 12? Pastor Alex, it's a great blessing to be here with you and Jess and with Fire Church. Are you still on fire, Fire Church? I hope so. If I come back here any year and you're not on fire, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to absolutely spank you guys spiritually. But you're more on fire, I feel, than I came last time. It's been a few years, actually, I think, since I preached here and ministered to you. And I feel the fire of God inside you. And when I was in worship, I could sense the innocence of God, the hunger. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. Romans, are you there? Romans 12. You all know this verse. It's familiar, but let's just pray over the word, because the word preaches better than any preacher. You realize that, right? The word cannot fail. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, in this time that you would really minister to people and help us to think different in Jesus' name. Before I read this, I want to tell you that most of life's problems and most of the things you process with God start right here. I love this statement I heard. Bill Johnson, he said once, he said, revival stops between your ears. People grow, they stop growing. They level off in development because they stop thinking like God. And what I mean by thinking like God, that might sound a bit arrogant, but the truth is we are not called to think like humans. If we were called to think like humans, I mean, look at the world. Thinking like a human, you might be able to create AI, you might be able to create technology, but you cannot create a whole heart. You cannot sustain relationships. The divorce rate is 1 in 2.5, I believe. And this is humanity. This is our thinking. We're selfish without God. We think in a corrupt way. We're very small. I remember I had a conversation my mentor, Frank Clancy, reminded me about, actually, yesterday, that I had this conversation with a man who was so sure that there is no God. And I was like, your brain is the size of a pea or a nut, like my brain. Our brain's this big. How can you be sure that there's no God? And I was like, how arrogant we are sometimes. How even in church sometimes we say big statements that we don't really understand. And God wants us to be in a place where we truly live the gospel we speak and say we live. And most of that begins in our thinking. So the bad day you have doesn't start by having a bad day. No one wakes up. Have you ever heard the saying, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed? That's not correct. There's no wrong side of the bed. There's no right side of the bed. You either wake up believing the truth or you believe a lie. Everything is either usually founded, it has its roots back to two realities, love or fear. God is love, 1 John 4:8, and everything God does exudes love. God exudes peace. God is the ultimate, most trustworthy person in the universe. And the interesting thing is, the enemy, his job seems to be to constantly accuse the brethren and to throw little darts at our thoughts that God isn't here. God isn't with you. God isn't close to you. Well, how do you know he's not? Many people I meet go through a lot of emotional struggle. They wake up on the wrong side of the bed a lot. They go through spiritual struggles. And the simplicity of just believing God's scriptures and the word of God and having him transform the way you think would solve it all. But instead, they spend a lot of time fighting battles that God never prepared them for. God never made you to fight all day. Do you know God made you to laugh? God made you to laugh a lot. And I can preach to you this morning from the time I've wasted fighting battles that didn't even belong to me. And so I want to just read this really slowly and carefully, the scriptures we're going to go after today, because I want you to see how God is instructing your thoughts to see things differently. Okay, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So holiness isn't some prideful thing. Wow, I'm so pure. No, it's just reasonable. It's normal. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Say transformed. Transformed. by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This scripture, put your hand up if you knew that one already. Yeah. This scripture is greatly misunderstood. The reason is because, first of all, it says, don't be conformed to this world. So we know this world could be sin. We know it could be patterns of negativity, demonic activity. But what it says here, Paul said here, is he said, be transformed by renewing your mind. Most people, hey Reese, most people try and be transformed by renewing their life, by I'm going to change my habits. Well, that's part of it. But transformation, think of yourself as a whole body. Your whole body gets transformed when you just renew this part. It's just your thinking. And Paul says here, if you want to be like God, you've got to let God's mind get into yours. When God's mind gets into you, the transformation that happens in the branches of your life, so to speak, happen naturally when the root of your thinking is different. We're going to see that with the disciples here because they made kind of a fatal doubt, and it wasn't fatal, I guess is probably a big word, but they made a doubt here that was pretty significant, and it actually caused them not to see how close God was. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Turn over there if you can, Matthew 16. So think about this, guys. Your thoughts are what dictate your life. What you think you will become. That sounds a bit new agey, but it's actually the truth. If you think with God, you will live different. Did you have a bad day today or did you have a good day? Well, it's your choice. Well, what do you mean, Ben? Because bad things happen. Right, but it depends on how you think of it. Pastor Alex and I were talking upstairs in the German media right now. I'm in the paper all the time. They cancelled our bank accounts in Germany even. That's how bad it is. We're being persecuted, really. And I remember walking out of the bank account and I was furious inside. I was like, this isn't right. Not furious in an angry way, but just like, this is wrong. We're just a church. We're just Christians. Why are they cancelling my bank account? This is wrong. I wanted to fight, you know, inside. I'm like, I want to do something. And I felt like Jesus said, this is normal. Rejoice. This is normal. Think about it differently, Ben. Think about it. Yes, it's wrong. Yes, it's bad. But think about it differently. You're being persecuted for my name's sake. Finally, you're actually at a place where you're actually receiving real persecution. See, persecution isn't Facebook comments that someone doesn't agree with you on. That's not persecution. Persecution's when they cancel your bank account because you love God. That's what's happening to me in Germany. The newspaper put big the second page of the huge newspaper, putting big articles with my face and saying, you know, not wonders and signs, not true miracles and all this sort of stuff, accusing us. And we are just taking this interesting posture of worship and thanking God. But in the first few days and few weeks, I was angry. I was really angry because my friends would say, my children used to play with our neighbors in the street and now the neighbors will not let their kids play with my kids because of the newspaper articles. You see, when you're number two, page two on the newspaper, a huge picture of you, and your church is named and the people in your leadership are named, all of a sudden you become bad to the world. Something's wrong with you before they've even asked you any questions. And I had to renew my mind. I had to think differently, like, okay, God, this is either a massive opportunity or this is a curse or this is something bad. And you can be honest at least and go, yeah, there's tough things in it. But you can't be... You can't let the tough things cause you to be changed. And Todd White used to say, and Dan Molly used to say, they'd say, sin against you cannot produce sin in you. And it's the truth. It's the way you look at life. And so many people walk around with their head down, thinking so much through problems, so much through one comment somebody said, so much through the little time that they were misunderstood. They live in this state of perpetual confusion, and then they worship God and thank Him and glorify Your name and they praise the Lord. But on Monday, they're confused, and they live with stress. And I lived so much of my life where I'd preach about the power of God on Sunday, and on Monday, I'd be battling and wrestling condemnation. And the battle was here. God never came down to me and said, I condemn you. It was just subtle undertone thoughts that were sitting in the back of my head. God never came once in a dream and said, I condemn you. I never saw an angel that out loud said, I condemn you. It was just a feeling. And what I used to do is I'd let that feeling take over my thinking. And once I was underneath that kind of thought pattern, Then I'd be under it for hours, sometimes even days, sometimes even praying and crying out in repentance to God for sins I didn't commit. Saying, God, have I done something wrong? Have you ever had that? And you feel like God's far away? I realized something. There's only one thing that stops us from believing the truth, is that we're not in the truth enough. Our mind isn't being renewed to the truth. So Paul said, your life will be transformed. You'll be laughing all the time. You won't know why you are, simply because you renewed your thoughts. But you're trying to make yourself laugh, make yourself happy. He's like, just stop doing that. Just renew yourself to the truth. Don't live by fear. Live by his love. Here the disciples were with Jesus in Matthew 16. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. It's crazy. And then let's read it here. Let's start at verse 5 of Matthew 16. When his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. They made a mistake. They just forgot bread, okay? It's not a big deal. They're not going to hell. They forgot bread, right? Then Jesus, verse 6. Is it on the screen? Yeah, it is. Praise the Lord. I was wondering, I was like, where are they looking? You're looking up to the Lord. Verse 6. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then, this is verse 7, and then the disciples, they reasoned among themselves. Reasoned. They started to think among themselves, okay, it's because we have no bread. Verse 8, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, and then he says the second time, he repeats what they did. You of little faith, why do you reason that you have no bread? See, God's thoughts and their thoughts were worlds apart. They forgot bread, and Jesus had just transformed a couple of loaves into 5,000 loaves. Jesus is Baker's Delight on steroids. Jesus has no issue with bread. He has no issue with need. Their thinking began from lack. Here's what I don't have. Here's what we don't, what's not in our possession. God's thinking began from abundance. His thinking is always greater than ours. And heaven's thoughts are never, we don't have enough up here for you. You're too hard for us. That healing, that sickness, that's been in your body too long. But their thoughts were immediately, they went straight to the Pharisaical, Sadduceical mindset, this leaven in their head, which was the leaven of human reasoning. And when you get underneath that, you begin to actually operate in a sense of the spirit of control can operate over you, because it can control you to think that God is distant and you have to work out things and take responsibility and be your own person. And God can't just come and do a miracle. Why can't he? Why can't God just be very kind to you and bless you? Because you reason that I haven't done enough. I haven't got enough bread here. So God can't do anything now because I forgot bread. And Jesus said, why do you reason? And then verse 9, do you not yet understand or remember? You see, this book, and he says, do you not remember the miracle of the loaves? This book is a testimony of God's acts and remembrance for you and me. If I am not here enough, I can't even remember what God did 4 weeks ago for me. You forget. They couldn't remember what God did yesterday with the bread that he multiplied, and they reasoned over lack. Their thinking was earthly, carnal. They didn't believe that God could just invade their world again and give them more bread. They thought like Pharisees. Pharisees are self-righteous. Pharisees think like, I will produce what I need to for God, and God will approve of me. No, God produced what we needed by dying on the cross for us, brought us into salvation, gave us his kingdom, made you a son and a daughter. And now the Bible promises that won't he also freely give you all things? I love when Paul wrote that. He said, won't God now freely give us everything? How easy it is to forget this and how hard it is to receive freely, right? We are so good at praying for others. How good are you at receiving healing? We are so good at giving. How good are you at receiving? Paul said, if Jesus died for our sin, if God himself in flesh gave up his body to save you, how much more the whole kingdom? But do you live conscious that the kingdom is yours, that God wants to give it to you? Do you live conscious that God supernaturally can bring answers to your very big problems and solutions into your situation? Or do you just all work it out in the flesh? The only way to remain in the Spirit is to be on Netflix less and in the Bible more. I'm not against Netflix or whatever. Well, maybe I am. But what I'm saying to you is the only way to remain in the Spirit is to walk in the Spirit. You can't think like God and be watching this thing all day long. It's not possible because your mind has to be renewed. So what do we see from these two verses? Number one, we see that the human has the ability to reason themselves away from miracles. It's just proven. Churches that do not preach the healing power of God see less healing. You didn't catch the depth of that statement. I'll try on this side, hey? Think about this. Think about this. Churches that don't preach God the healer see less healing. Why? Are those people saved? Yes. But if you go to an Anglican church and they tell you God doesn't heal anymore, it's no wonder that the miracles don't happen. What does this show us? It shows us their mind is closed off to the reception of God. Is God in heaven saying, I choose charismatics to heal? I'll choose a Pentecostal church. I'll heal there. No. Jesus healed everybody who came to him. He didn't go, what denomination are you? You're a Pharisee? He didn't do that. In heaven, there is no denomination. You won't move into the Baptist section of heaven. In heaven, everybody's a child of God. Everybody's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And everybody has a testimony of how God redeemed and the kingdom, the power of God's kingdom that came into their life. And the measure is on you. The measure's on me. So churches that preach, or maybe they don't even say God doesn't heal. They just don't preach about healing. They don't receive nearly as, you can do statistic studies on this. They don't receive nearly as many miracles. God is not blocked from being powerful there. Their mind is blocked from God's power. They've reasoned in themselves, God doesn't want to do this, and it doesn't matter. I've even heard people say, well, it doesn't matter if God heals you. Well, if that's true, then why did Jesus do it every day? If it doesn't matter that God heals or not, now I understand the most important thing is salvation, right? But does it matter to God if he wants to show compassion and give glory to his name? I remember this time in Geelong. I was in Geelong preaching the gospel on the streets, and I was telling people about Jesus every day. I still do every day. In fact, I had a very powerful encounter. My sister and I went and played pool, and we had a powerful encounter with a woman at a pool hall just two nights ago. Very powerful. And the Lord really touched her, and she was shocked. And I said to her, I said, one of your family members' names is a flower. And she was like, my sister's name's Lily. And I said, your grandmother used to pray with you. Go back to God. And she freaked out. And this girl, we talked for a long time. And it really went right into her heart. She couldn't believe what God was doing in her. And it was just in a five-minute encounter, just by listening to God. Imagine if I said God doesn't speak today. Imagine if I reason in my heart, God only speaks through the Bible. He doesn't speak by the Spirit. Well, that girl, I just have to tell her a few scriptures. The scripture still works. I'm not downplaying the scripture. In fact, I'm upgrading it. Because the Bible promises that you'll know the secrets of the hearts of men in 1 Corinthians 12. And they will be freaked out and say, God is among you. And this girl freaked out. She's like, I can't believe this. I can't believe that you're here. And that God's saying this and all this sort of stuff. Well, in Geelong many years ago, actually, I was on the street. And God, I saw this lady, she was crippled like this. And she was walking like that. And the Lord said to me, he said, do not let this woman go home bound by Satan. This is in the middle of the street in the Geelong foreshore with thousands of people walking there. Do you remember this, Lee? Well, we prayed for that girl. And she was crippled with a walking frame. And in the middle of the street at the Geelong foreshore, literally people licking ice cream in the summer, walking everywhere. This girl took that thing, that walker, and place kicked it. It booted, it fell back on the ground screaming as loud as you can. And then I told the guys, I said, quickly get around her because people are going to think it's like maybe an epileptic fit, or they're going to think we've done something to her. You know, get around her and make sure we cover her and help her here. We prayed for this girl and she was completely delivered. She couldn't speak. She was like this. She couldn't talk like that. Can you help me? Once the demon left her, she was talking completely, shouting out to God. Remember this? She came to church 2 days later with her husband, who was not yet a believer. Not in that way, anyway. I think he grew up a Catholic. He was a cardiovascular surgeon. She walked into church like this with a dress on, a full dress. She came in, and the first thing she told us that she'd done is she had rung her sister. She rang her sister and said to her sister that night, she said, "Hey, it's me." And she goes, "Me who?" And she's like, "It's me, your sister." And the girl dropped the phone screaming, the sister. The sister's not a Christian. The whole family, all of the whole, the father, the mother, every single person, couldn't believe. They're all shocked. So when someone says it's not about healing, okay, it's not about healing, but you didn't set the agenda. God does. The word of God sets the agenda. I know that healing will pass away one day, that ultimately salvation is the greatest need. But in this life, you can live restricting the promises of God, live in confusion, live daily in depression, live in a place where you're so confused and you wake up on one side of the bed happy and the other side of the bed tomorrow you're sad and living in worry, perpetual stress. All these things Jesus promised us would not be our portion. He didn't say you won't be persecuted. But see, it's how you look at it. I lack a bank account. No, you never lack one. You have all of heaven's resources, Ben. I lack a bank account in the natural in Germany. Don't worry, Ben, you can get Bitcoin. Whatever, you know. My point is, I could have looked at all this persecution in the last 8 months that we've had as a big problem, or I can look at it as God blessing His word. And God said to me, he said, "Ben, this is only the beginning for you. I'm preparing you, son. This is the beginning. One day I'll probably be put in prison for the gospel. I need to get ready for that day. I need to get ready and I need to be positive." My mentor, one of my mentors, his name is Brother Yun. They wrote a book about him called The Heavenly Man. Have you ever heard of this book? Yeah, well, he was the Chinese underground church leader, five of them. They were all elders. The stipulation to be an elder in the Chinese underground church was this: you had to be persecuted and put in prison. You couldn't be an elder unless you've done prison to prove that you truly love God. Because otherwise, if they made you an elder and you were persecuted, you would probably fall off. You know, you might compromise. Because once people persecute you, you find out what you truly believe. You find out whether you really love Jesus. Because if they tell you, "Hey, we're going to cancel your bank account unless you do this," it's like, no, hang on. Now I'm compromising who I am with God so I can have a bank account? I mean, come on. So Brother Ewan, he'd pull up his leg things and show me where the shackle marks are. He lives near me in Germany. He's a German refugee. He lives about 2.5 hours from where we live. And he comes down to our church often. I go to his house often and he cooks me duck. And he cooks the full-on, like, real villages of China duck. You remember him, Reese? You remember Brother Yun? Yeah. And so Brother Yun would pull up his pants and show these where the leg irons had grazed into the bone of his shins. And he has these big scars around them. And he'd look like this big smile. He's laughing. And I'm like, and I start crying because I could sense the presence of the Lord on him through the persecution. Peter says that you receive a weight of glory when you suffer persecution. And he carries that glory, you know. And so he would be laughing. And I'd say, "Why are you laughing?" And I'm crying. Oh, you know, I feel terrible for him. And I'm like, "Oh, he suffered for righteousness." And I'd say, "Why are you laughing?" And he'd say, "Ben, I was so close to Jesus." He said, "I was so close to Jesus." And even he was locked in a box 100 days underground in a pitch black box 4 feet tall. He couldn't even stand up in there. You know, he suffered immensely, but he said that every part of it was, he said, I was so close to God. See, he didn't look at the lack. I don't have a bed. He looked, I have Jesus, see? So here, the disciples, they just saw God do a miracle and they fell into the trap of forgetting God's nature. They fell into the trap that the enemy often throws at you. Does God still love you? God healed them, but he doesn't heal you. God thinks you're still a sinner. God has something against you. They fell into the trap of believing in their own lack instead of his kingdom. And by this, their mind was blocked from seeing what God wanted to do again. It was easy for God to multiply bread. It's easy for God to do a miracle for you. It's easy for God, let's just make it real practical. Let's say it's not a healing miracle. It's easy for God to bring you into a state of peace where you live there. The hard thing is us. We are the problem in the relational equation. Because what we do is we evaluate everything and reason about why we should be stressed. People do this with money a lot. I don't have enough money. Cool. So keep giving and you'll have enough. God will bless you, it says. It says if you just give and worship God, he'll bless your bread and food and water and you'll be blessed, really blessed. And that principle's never failed any human in history. Oh, but I don't have enough. Alex said it right. That's because you don't give enough. That's because the money has you. Your reasoning is starting with what you lack, not what God has. You're starting with you. You're left to your human reasoning. The same thing with depression or with oppression. When you're oppressed by a demon, and you, people come to me for years, Ben, can you pray for me? I'm oppressed. My grandpa cursed me. My great-great-great uncle 400 years ago touched a Freemason's shoe. You know, like there's all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of reasons why you could be in bondage. That's great. And there's probably truth in some of those things. But the truth about who God is has to be greater to you. Because if your mind is reason, it's because of this. I used to do this as a professional. I used to tell my dad right there, I'd say, but you don't understand. And you don't understand the things I went through. And my dad's suicide and blah, blah. And he'd just tell me the truth. He'd just say to me, yeah, but Ben, you need to change. You need to give your life to God. You need to surrender. And I struggled with pornography so much and I called it a struggle. It wasn't a struggle. It was a choice. I look back like, I chose that for years. I remember when the lights went on, when I finally realized, God, I could have come to you 10 years ago with this. God didn't go, here's the appointed time I have. I have another 10 years of deep rebellion that you're going to have with me. You're going to be double-minded, looking at women lustfully. That's my plan. And then one day I'll just miraculously deliver you and you'll have a testimony of 10 years of darkness. That's not God's plan. That's the reason I wasn't married. Do you know that? The reason I didn't get married is because I had fear of women because I was addicted to pornography. So it killed promises in my life. Now God's a resurrector and now I feel ready because I've done the work. I've done counseling. I've done the work to become solid in God and I've stayed here. But I had to have my mind renewed. And I realized when I was delivered, I was like, God, I could have been delivered quickly. And he's like, yes, son, I tried to get into your world with this. I tried to bring my word to you. I tried to take that secret hand of options that you kept holding on to. We do this often. Father, forgive me. But then we do this silently inside. But if the day is bad enough, I know where to turn to. If the day is bad enough, I can throw up my food again. If the day is bad enough, I can watch pornography again. If the day is bad enough, I'm going to go get blind drunk again. And then we wonder why our life isn't renewed. Because there's too many options. Because the reasoning of man is existing too deeply in our thinking. It has to be God's thinking. God never starts with lack. And he doesn't judge you and go, you're better than her. And I'll give her blessing and you not. His word promises that every person who puts their trust in this book will be delivered. Everyone. Every person. Then the human reasoning is, but most buts are not from God. The human reasoning is, but I didn't see this person healed. Yep, there's mysteries. But this, my dad committed suicide and he was a Christian. I have bigger reasons than most people to go, but God didn't deliver my dad. My mum and I used to pray with my sister for my dad to be delivered every single night for years. And he didn't get set free. So I could point the finger at God. You didn't free my dad. We all have reasons that we could sort of put God in a court case for. But it's not God who's at court. Those reasonings and the papers, those court papers for our head, come from the devil. The mystery comes from the enemy. Here, God didn't do this. It's like, yeah, you're right. He didn't do it in that moment. Maybe we didn't believe right. Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe there was human interference. We don't know until we get to heaven. But the thing is, while you live on the earth, the Bible doesn't say you're supposed to be a broken individual. The Bible says be transformed, fully transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 8:29 is even more powerful to me than Romans 8:28, which says all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But Romans 8:29, God says that he conforms you to the image of his son. All of those things working are a confirmation to make you more like Jesus. Everything could either be for him and about his glory and about his kingdom, or it could be for your life. It can be for human things. But what one of you can really determine the future? What one of you can really say, I know how big God is and what he can do? No one. So why do we sometimes fractionalize our receptors away from God's presence? We're like, I'm not going to receive. It's going to be hard for me. Why are we making it so hard? What if God just wants to heal you today? What if God wants to deliver you of a spirit of anxiety that you wake up with every day today? What if the day gets, most people either get set free because they become childlike receivers and they believe the scriptures, or they get set free because they've had enough of suffering. They've just had enough. They're like, I can't keep living with a double mind. And God respects that too. As long as you're at a place where you've had enough, God's like, okay, now you're going to receive from me. But until you get to this place where you stop thinking in your way and you start looking at God's thinking, you'll never fully receive what he promises for you. God does not start with lack, friend. Okay, so Father, you're like this. Father, my sister's not saved. I'm mighty to save. But now my brother's on drugs. Yeah, but I'm a drug saver. I've saved millions of people, Ben. It's very easy for me. Stop making it very hard. God, save Australia. Save thousands of people. Do you know it's not hard for God to do that? It's not difficult for God to open the eyes, the blind eyes of the unbelieving. It's difficult in our head because we see how dark they are. We see all these things happening in the world, right? The world is becoming quickly very anti-Christ society. But what are we going to do? We're going to go, well, it's going to get worse. Let's get out of here. Let's move to Panama. That's what a bunch of people did. Great, you live in the forest of Panama. Well done. That's not going to help anybody here. It's not going to help anyone who's groping for salvation here. See, God respects faith. God loves faith. The history of Christians, the hallmark of people who changed the earth, were not people of unbelief. They were people of faith. They were people who said, God can change me and he can change somebody else. The disciples started with what they didn't have and they reasoned together. That's another thing I want to highlight here. You're going to always have people who come to you and go, yeah, I understand. I understand why you're so hurt. Do you know we have made a Goliath out of rejection in the church? We have made hurt our friend. I'm so hurt by my feelings are so downcast. I'm like, okay, you should come have dinner with Brother Ewan five times because you're not going to be downcast after sitting with him. God still cares about you as a tender sheep. He knows your emotions, but God will not allow you to wallow in self-pity and self-righteousness where you're always hurt for 20 years and you never change. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, guys. How many rejections does it take to be free until you go, man, I probably should stop falling for this lie? How many rejections do you need before somebody actually goes, you know, you could believe that God accepts you? That might cover all those rejections. Does God accept you now? If he does, if your mind is renewed to that reality, when you don't feel love, guess where you can turn? Do you love me? Thank you that you love me. I started thanking God for things that I don't have. My goodness, has God blessed me like nuts, like crazy. He has gone exceedingly abundantly. God started to tell me, do this, do this. Alex and I talked about it. He said, do this with your finances. God has stupidly blessed me. I'm like, I don't deserve this. And he's like, I'm good. I'm like, but I don't. He's like, yeah, but I'm choosing this part. And I started to thank him all the time. I started to wake up and thank God for my day. Praise you for this day. Hasn't even started. Do you feel overwhelmed? Yes. Do you feel stressed? I have 55 staff. I have a giant building. I have a restaurant, a hotel. I'm a businessman now. I didn't even know I was. I have millions of euros of debt. But I just started to praise God. Thanking the Lord would renew my mind before the day began. And I'm like, man, this actually works. All my years that I was a Christian, this actually works. This Bible, it's not just to preach the gospel and get people saved. There's all these other things in here that we have not taken literally. God's word says he gives you peace that passes your understanding. How good would it be to actually sit there every day and go, wow, feel very peaceful. Some of you go, but hang on, I thought your uncle and auntie, they're getting divorced. I thought that you're in a court case. Yeah, I am. I feel very peaceful. Why do I feel so peaceful? See, I know that we clap at that. I used to clap at that too, but it's a different thing when you live it. It's very different when you go, okay, God, I'm now making war on the areas where my mind still thinks very small. When you pray, you can see this. If you pray for somebody and you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and you're doing it more like this. This is what I used to do. Father, I thank you. We just bless them and we pray healing over them. It was more of a band-aid. I was more praying a prayer of comfort than a prayer of faith. If I had have prayed a prayer of faith, what would have happened? They would have been healed. If I had have started with heaven has the power to heal this person, heaven come now. If I had have started with God's thinking, many more probably would have been healed. What if you start with God's thinking about your rebellious atheist mother, about your unsaved backslidden brother? What if you start thinking with God? How does God see them? The financial situation you're in that you don't have any money for, what if you started thinking with God, Father, how do you see things? Sow the last €100 you have, the last $100 you have, sow it. I think this way, you put it in my hands and I will show you what my hands can do. What if it's somebody who's against you, you're married to an unsaved person and for years you've been praying, God, but they're so difficult, they're so this, they're so that. What's the common response is Satan giving you evidence and reasons to get bitter. But that's not God's will for you to get bitter. It's God's will for you to think like Jesus. Think like him. God, thank you. This is making me patient. And thank you. He is not too hard. This man is not too hard for you to save. You're going to get him, God. Our grandpa, my mum's dad, my grandpa, he was a tough cookie. But at the end of his life, God said to me, he said, get on your knees. God didn't say get on your knees. I got on my knees. God said to me, tell him about hell. I grabbed him. I said, you are going to hell. I said, I love you, Grandpa. I started to cry. Do you remember that, Mom? I grabbed him. Remember that, Dad? I said, you are headed into hell. I said, I'm not sure I'll even see you again. And I said, this may be the last time I see you. I said, you must know the truth. And I could feel the might of God. God can break in here. Imagine if I thought, he's just so hard, he's not worth telling. I grabbed him and he snapped. He never did this to me ever. He snapped and he said, if you talk like this to me, you can get out of my house. He snapped. He got really mad. And I know why he got mad, because it went right in. And I was so happy about that because I never saw him react. And I was like, this is finally, it's going in. And I begin to think with God. I'm like, God, you can get him. You can save him. And then later, he told me, he goes, how do you know that I don't talk to the big man upstairs? And I was like, praise God. And then he rang my mother a few days later and he said, the only one who can lead me to Jesus, he rang my mother, stubborn man. He rang my mom and he said, the only person who can lead me to Jesus is Ben. And he said, he was open, wasn't he, Mom? Well, that was actually the last time I ever saw him. He ended up dying. And I believe that he prayed before he died to receive the Lord, because he started to talk to God. Nothing is impossible with God. But you have to ask yourself this question. I want to close and pray for some people, because I'm going to pray specifically over the mind. Jesus wore that crown of thorns for you to live in soundness of mind. I have spent too many years tormented by condemnation, by accusation, by witchcraft. I'm not talking about little spells and hex things. I'm talking about manipulation. Witchcraft is where it manipulates your mind. It controls you. When you walk into a room and Pastor Alex or someone doesn't see you and they walk past you and they don't hug you or high five you or say good morning, and then you're thinking for 20 minutes that he didn't say hi, what does he have against me? He doesn't like me. And you're under witchcraft. You're under control. You're being controlled. If you're paranoid, you're controlled. God didn't make you for that. What a sucky life that is. My dad had paranoid schizophrenia. And it cost him his life. I had the same thing for a while. And Jesus delivered me through the scriptures. It's not the future that God intends for us. He doesn't receive glory from a person who's still bad 20 years later. Who still manipulates and still controls their wife and still hurts people. Jesus doesn't get any glory from this. It's not just about the gospel. The gospel is more than just Jesus died for you. It's much more. It's he died and he paid a price for us to receive his kingdom. What is in his kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Here's my question before I pray. Is there any area of your life where you can truly look at God and go, this is all supernatural? Is there any area of your life where you can daily look and go, I can see you here? Or is it just all your stuff? Everywhere Jesus walked, he had this dependence on God, on another kingdom coming into this one. Everywhere he walked. I've only got a few loaves. He looked up, bang, there's 5,000 of them. I have a problem with relationship. Don't worry, blessed are you when you're persecuted. And when he was persecuted, he was able to forgive. Brother, you're in the same. How can you forgive people that are bashing leg irons into your legs and smashing your kneecaps? That's what happened to Brother Yun in China. How can you forgive? How could we forgive? Supernatural. That has to be supernatural. God has to wet your heart with love where you're so merciful that only Jesus could have done that inside you. Here's my question. What area of your life can you see God's supernatural hand and power where he is glorified above your natural things in your life? Maybe you can't even think of one area. God doesn't condemn us. Remember, the Baptist church, I love Baptists, by the way, but let's call it the Maptist. Let's not blame anyone. The second brethren denomination of the third children or whatever, you know, these kind of crazy names they have. The second brethren denomination says, like, God just wants to save and it's about good doctrine and just be obedient and be holy and that, and they're good. They love God, but everyone in their church is sick. People die prematurely. The charismatic church, they believe and they see miracles every week. There's only one difference. The only difference is they have not blocked their mind to what God might do. They have said, if you want to do this, we receive it. If you want glory this way, we receive it. And God wants to bring glory to his son through the circumstances of your life being changed. Because it can only be supernatural when your house gets paid off. What about you went bankrupt 3 times? Australia's most famous billionaire, Peter J. Daniels, went bankrupt 3 times and then he became a billionaire. That can only be God. I'm not just talking about debt, but people, Christians, we hate talking about money. It's like, it's funny, we don't like talking about money. It offends us, yet we work all week for it and we save it. We save more money than souls. We protect it, but then we don't like talking about it. No, don't talk about that. Well, why not? You spend it every day. It's fully under your control. It manipulates your life. It puts your trust in and out of God. It changes things in your family. It creates arguments. It's one of the main reasons people have divorce in marriage, money, all this stuff. And we don't involve God. Why not just involve God and go, we're in great lack. Our business keeps going bad. Let's ask questions to God. God, what should we do? Well, I learned at the church, at the Second Brethren Church, that you're not supposed to talk about money. It's about salvation. Just tithe. Okay, so we just tithe and nothing changed. So ask God questions. I have 2 loaves and fish left. What do I do? Give it to me. Yeah, amen. And then God revives your business. Then God revives your life. And then you're like, but it's not about money. Sure, it's not about money, but if you're going bankrupt every single time you do something and then you're getting more and more depressed, I don't think people are looking at you going, wow, that's the glory of God. They're not. If you're just a sick, sad, disgusted Christian who is always upset, this does not give glory to Jesus. It doesn't give glory to God every day when you wake up and, oh, things are so hard. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you speak. Are things really that hard for us? Are they really that hard? Careful what you say. Is your life really that bad? If I put Brother Yun or the Lord Jesus Christ here and he showed us his holes that he overcame by the power of the Spirit, he was resurrected, does he call his life bad? Does he go, oh, Father, you remember when I suffered, how bad my life was? No. Guys, we have to stop thinking like the earth. We must think like heaven. We must expect things from heaven. When someone comes into your world, into your church, into your home group and says, I have a problem, I have depression. And we go like this, well, I know the answer, Valium, da 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 da, and we just, no, we need to start, okay, how long have you had that for? 5 years. Were you depressed before? No. Did you grow up depressed as a baby, as a 4-year-old? Were you happy? Did you jump around? Did you steal candies? Were you happy as a baby? Did you love chocolate? Did you smile? Did you hug everybody and wave as a kid?
Yes, I did. I was happy. I used to sing as a kid. I used to dance. At 8 years old, I was the happiest kid ever. What happened? Well, my sister committed suicide. Then depression came? Yes, then depression came. Well, it's probably not something in your brain. It's probably your soul. And does the Bible say that he restores my soul or he leaves it broken? Which one is it? He restores. Okay, that means then God has a plan of restoration. So what's the log jam? What's jamming the logs?
This thing.
Me. I'm jamming the logs. And some people use it as a crutch to bring attention to themselves for 10 years. They're like, well, I went through this brother and I went through that brother. And 10 years later, they're still going through the same thing. And they use it to bring attention. How much more attention would you have if you went, God delivered me. I've got to tell you about this. So when someone enters your home group, don't start with lack. Don't start with, God can't heal this one. How do you know? I'll finish with this. My friend was ritually, satanically abused. She was, Bill Johnson said she was the worst, like not like bad human, but the worst case person he ever saw in his life. She was three people inside, scattered, completely scattered. Can you imagine what she went through as a kid? Oh, the hell she went through. She came to Bethel. There was a couple of prayer women who had faith that God, no matter how bad, no matter how mentally tormented, that God's power was big enough to set this woman's soul free. That woman, we don't even know what bad is. When you understand what some people go through, we're like, my goodness. And we have a relationship issue at work with one person and our life is destroyed. Guys, we have to be thankful. Get up every day. Thank you, Father. And that lady at work who hates me, thank you for her too. It's causing Romans 8:29 in me. I'm being conformed to your image. When I get to work, when she hates me, I'm going to be happy. And when she hates me more, I'm going to love her more. And eventually she's going to be at church with me. That's the truth. That's what happens. It's all a matter of how you see it. So this woman was so fractured, so destroyed from being, I'm not even going to describe it because there's kids around and things. It's too wicked to describe. It's not even worth describing the enemy's acts. But what I'll tell you is this. She was so destroyed. Bill Johnson, never seen a human this destroyed. These women began to pray for her. She went back. She flew back. I think it was over a six-month period or something like that. She became a completely new human. Her mind was delivered. The demons left her soul. All the spirits of hatred, rage, all the spirits of Satan, all the everything that happened to her. You wouldn't believe what happened to her. It was all delivered. Now she preaches to people everywhere. And now, not only does she preach, I've seen her sit with people. I can't say who it is because she's famous, actually. She's well known. Because she's all preaching. And I've sat with her in meetings where we're having dinner and she sits with a person you've never met. You've never met him. I've never met him. They're like, hi, I'm the pastor's assistant. And she just sits there with him and she listens to their story for like 30 minutes and she gives these nuggets of weighty advice. She's like, that probably means you should do this. And I'm like, where did she get this wisdom from? Because what happened to her came out of another world. What happened to her changed her world. It came out of another realm. It changed her so deeply that she understands that realm. And she picks up from God these nuggets of wisdom like, weighty, and she judges no one. She doesn't care where you've come from, how bad your life is. She's not like, oh, well, you're very hard to deal with, aren't you? Never. She thinks everyone can be free. Some of you probably know who I'm talking about. I know you probably do. But this lady was delivered of the worst stuff that humans can produce. And what about you? How much bread do you have? Are you reasoning in your head about your lack? Is it all about what you could do better and could change and that way God could bless you? Why can't God bless you now? Would you stand? We're going to pray. God has more than enough for you. You believe God's supernatural? Pastor Alex said something about footy with these guys. Are you football players? Okay, nice. There was a Christian in America who played football, and this is recent, actually. He's a strong Christian, and he put under his eyes 3:16, under both eyes. And they told him, you can't have that anymore. You can't play football on TV with 316. They persecuted him because he had Bible verses under his eyes. Well, the day that they persecuted him, he threw the ball in gridiron exactly 316 yards. His stats were 3.16. His turnarounds were 316. Every number of his statistics was 316. Every number. God is supernatural. Even in football, he can be glorified. Put your hand up if you live under mental torment. Mental torment. Yeah. Yeah. Put your hand up again just so I can see you. Yeah, I see you. You? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus could just take that loaf of yours and just go, okay, here's 5,000. That tiny bit of grace you feel, the struggle that you feel, that God is so compassionate that he can go, I understand where you've been for years. And today I can just deliver you. Do you believe that? So what do we need to do? The first thing we need to do is we need to just pray quickly and renounce any tie that we have to believing that this is our destiny. Because if we have a tie to that, then it doesn't matter how many prayers we get, we'll own it like it's ours. What if it's not yours? What if it's been a foreign stranger all that time? And today's the day Jesus wants to set you free. So let's pray. If you're one of the ones who put their hand up and said, that is me, I have mental torment. Let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, today I put my trust in you. I believe in your power more than my mindsets. I'm asking you today for the power of your heavenly spirit, your great kingdom, to come into my mind. And I cut ties with the lie that this is my destiny. In fact, I command this mental torment in the name of Jesus to leave me today. This is not my destiny, and I give my loaves and fishes to Jesus today. King Jesus, I trust in your crown of thorns that paid blood for me to have a sound mind. I put down my reasoning. And right now, God, I open my heart up to the power of your kingdom. Deliver me, and I welcome you, Jesus, into my mind right now. And I pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command the spirits of mental torment, depression, anxiety that's been there for years, I command it to leave now. I command all the demons that have been lying to them, you have no authority anymore because they renounced you. We cut ties with you already. We command right now paranoia, anxiety, every spiritual force that is against them. My brother, come here. Come here. Father, keep praying, church. Keep praying. Every spiritual force. Take your hands from behind your back. I want you to just receive. Just receive. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, we pray that his mind would be completely whole and receive it because it's not your portion. In the name of Jesus, we cut every tie from every form of stress, every trauma, anything they went through, God, that held them back from being with you. We command every spirit of trauma, every spirit of anxiety, every sickness over the mind, get out in Jesus' name. Right now, leave in Jesus' name. Now, if you're being prayed for, just receive. Don't look up at me. You must let Jesus, in a sense, walk into your thoughts. Let him just walk into your thinking. Just let him walk in. Let him just come into your thoughts. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim, God, your supernatural power over their thoughts right now. Every tormenting spirit, we take authority over you and we cast it out and we command it to get out now, today, in Jesus' name. Hang on. I'm not going to pray for her, but don't my daughter, I'm sorry, God's daughter, don't, my sister, don't cry. Don't cry because of that you are weak. You're being lied to. This thing's lying to you. You're not a victim anymore. You're not a victim. You're going to be crying tears of joy because you think even as we're praying for you, oh no, God, please, please, please. God has heard your cry. God has heard you and He loves you. He loves you, but you must believe right now. If you, sometimes when we pray and we go into sadness about the please begging God, we're actually not in faith. Are you in faith? Do you believe He can heal you today? Do you really? Good, because you're not going to be a daughter of suffering anymore. You're a daughter of blessing. We're going to pray right now. I don't want to stop you weeping, but when you're weeping, then I felt like it's just like, God, help, please help. It's frantic, right? You don't need frantic anymore. You're being attacked very hard, yes. But you're being attacked. But your God is bigger than what's attacking you. You're not the devil's playground. You are not the devil's playground. Neither are you, my brother. You are not the devil's playground. Your thoughts are not Satan's little ground for playing with you. Jesus is inside you, friend. So right now, we take authority. Let's pray for her. We take authority over this lying spirit that tells you that this is your only portion in life. We take authority over you in Jesus' name. Come on, church, we agree. Precious Lord Jesus, would you deliver her today? Deliver her right now and receive it today. We put an end to the tormenting voice and we command those spirits, there's three of them, those three demons that are around you, spirit of death, spirit of self-hatred, spirit of relational manipulation. We command all these three spirits in the name of Jesus. Get out of her life. Get out of her life. You don't belong in her anymore. Get out of her life in Jesus' name. And it came through a man. We break it in Jesus' name. Now, I break the tie between you and that man. It's an ungodly tie. You can forgive that man. You have to forgive that man. But we break that tie in Jesus' name. You are not a victim anymore. We cast that spirit out. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Get out of her soul in the name of Jesus. You have no right to stay here. You have no right to be here. Keep praying just a little longer. We proclaim a sound mind over you. We proclaim a sound mind over you. For others who are tormented, I know it's hard to receive, but just stop waiting. Just sit there with God and go, God, come into my mind. Say, Jesus, come into my mind. Gently, you can put your hands on their brain. You can just put their hands on their mind right there, gently, these guys here. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for your glory, for your glorious kingdom to come over these minds right now. We thank you for testimonies, God, of all torment being delivered. Father, we pray that they would be delivered today. And Father, I ask you that spiritually a resolve of the Holy Spirit would rise up in them that says, I can no longer live this way and I will not tolerate this demon anymore. Father, praise you, praise you, praise you. Okay, daughter of God, now you check your mind. Check. See if you're still tormented. Because how are you going to know? Exactly. Have a look. Close your eyes. See what your thoughts are. Yeah. That's just because you're used to seeing them for years. Yeah. You see how much the enemy has made himself a giant in your eyes? He's not a giant. God's a giant. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. See, that answer, can I tell you something? He's messed with you since birth. That's common. Because yeah, maybe he has messed with you since birth. That's why you get born again. You are not, I'm telling you very clearly, church, none of you are the devil's little project. You are not. He might attack you, but you, it's up to you. What, I'm not blaming you, sweetheart. Just trust me. I was under the same lies. You are not. And you cannot go, oh, I'm just getting always attacked. It's always on me. That's so, it can turn into self-pity. Jesus didn't die for everyone else except you. He didn't do that, right? He died for you. He thinks of you every day. His thoughts are countless towards you. The enemy has made Goliath, and I'm controlling you. He's not controlling you. Take that little slingshot and say, get out of my life. You throw it at his head. This is a lie. It's a lie. It feels so real. I know this because I walked in to check myself into a psychiatric ward. I know how real this feels. It's not real. It's not real. Doesn't matter if it's from birth. Because we could pray in a year. Are we still going to go back to your birth? What do you want? You want to be left alone. Okay, so how is that going to happen? By God. But it's also going to happen by God inside you, right? You're going to go, that's not allowed here. Most Christians go through torment because we think it's allowed, like it's part of the Christian walk. It's not allowed. Do you know the devil can't just torment you as long as he wants forever? There's no Bible verse that says that. What is the devil doesn't know that, but he tries to convince every Christian that this is normal life. Here you are, you're meant to be depressed. Here you are, you're meant to be in lack. You're meant to have terrible foreboding thoughts of the future. The future is going to be terrible for you. You're going to die in a car crash. You're going to this, you're going to that. That's the devil's play script for your whole life. He can't take you, but he's got a hold of you, right? Because even now you're like, it's been since birth. It's like you can't break free of it, but you can break free of it. It's a lie. Since birth, it's been a lie. Right now, I want you to speak this with me. Close your eyes. Speak this with me. So I break the agreement between me and every tormenting spirit. You cannot torment me anymore. I break the agreement and the lie that this is my portion. Jesus, enter me, my spirit and my mind. Fill me, Lord, and defend against every demon, and quicken my mind, and make me new in all of my thoughts. And I command every spirit, doesn't matter where you came from or when you came. I'm a daughter of God. I command every spirit, be gone from my life. Be gone from my life in Jesus' name. Keep ministering to her. Keep praying for her. Keep praying until faith stirs up. I want to pray for all of you too. Do you realize that you're also in the same situation, a little bit different, but you realize that you have to know God doesn't lack for you. It's not hard for God to bless you, not hard for God to give you joy. If it's hard, it's because we're blocking it somehow. Let's pray, okay? Put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray for the whole church that your supernatural wisdom would enter their heart. I pray, Lord, that mindsets that make them think they're supposed to be tormented would be broken this morning. Father, we ask you, give them a sound mind. Give them a clean heart and show the eyes of their heart, the mind of their spirit. Show them that they are children of God and that they are actually there in the earth to be blessed by God. Show them that God, you want to bless them. Father, I pray that everyone in this church would become great receivers, not just great givers, but great receivers. And right now, we command every mindset that kills joy, every mindset that stops peace, we command it to get out in Jesus' name. Every mindset that kills joy, every mindset that stops us from being fruitful, that stops us from being happy, we command it to leave in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. Yes, we will be persecuted, but we will have peace in the persecution. Yes, we will have trials, but we will have peace in the trials. Father, we bless your name. Come on, just thank him. I dare you. Thank God for things in your life. Thank him that you woke up today. It'll change you. Watch. Just thank him. Go, thank you for my dad. Thank you for my God. Thank him for your job. I dare you just to do it for 2 minutes. Just start thanking him for 2 minutes of things in your life. Come on, just thank him. I dare you. Can you find things to be thankful for? Start with this. Thank him for three things. Three people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am thankful you're in my life. Thank him that you live in the nation of Australia. Thank him. Thank him that you have a job. Thank you for what he's done inside you already, for the work he's done in your character. Thank him. Just bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, can we bless you? Can we think differently? Can we see differently? Yes, we can. Thank you, Father, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Lord, I thank you for my family. Thank you for even the unsaved ones in my family. Thank you, Lord, that they can be saved. Thank you, God, that you can give us joy. I thank you in advance for a download of joy for every Christian in this church. Even the non-Christians, I pray they come in here and have joy. Thank you, Lord, for a download of your grace. Thank you, Lord, for jobs that we don't have yet. We thank you in advance for the job we will have. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Can you thank him? What amazing God he is. All right. Thank you, God. Thank you for persecution. Thank you, Father. All right, I'm going to do it one more time. We're going to do it out loud. not whispering. We're not going to thank him like monks today. I want you to thank him one more time for things in your life. Just go. Thank him. Thank you for the ability to worship. Thank you for worship music. Yeah, thank you. Someone said, thank you for my husband. That's when you know the Lord is really moving. Thank him for your mother-in-law. How, that's the Lord really moving there. Come on, keep thanking him out loud. Just thank him. Some of you don't even do it yet. I can see your mouth not moving. Just thank God. Thank you, Father. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love us on our worst day. I thank you that you didn't leave us. I thank you that you're still here. I thank you that your Bible still speaks. I thank you that the promises are still yes and amen. I thank you that today is a new day. I thank you that tomorrow I can be changed. The next day I can be changed. The day after I can be changed. I thank you for my rebellious friends who make it hard for me sometimes to be a Christian because it makes me more of a Christian. We thank you for persecution, misunderstanding. We thank you for rejection because it makes us stand closer to you. Thank you, God. Even thank God for your boss. Oh, that would be supernatural. Thank you for our boss that isn't the best boss. Thank you for him, Lord. He's rough, he's tough, he's mean, he speaks weird. He's an accuser, he's an attacker. But Jesus, you're mighty to save. Thank you. That's where I prove that I have the love of God in me. Otherwise, it's just fairy tales and lovey-lovey with every Christian who agrees with me. Thank you that my boss makes me a true Christian. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I don't have enough money yet, but I will. Thank you that my sister isn't saved yet, but she will be. Thank the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to praise your excellent and holy name. Praise your wonders, God. Last prayer I pray, Father, give us an upgrade in our thinking. Help us to not start from lack. Help us to start from what does God have? What can God do? What does his kingdom have? I pray, Lord, for all of us that we will not start from lack, but we will begin from what does God's kingdom have? What can he do? In the name of Jesus, would you just lift up one shout of praise to thank the Lord to end the service? We can do better than that, I reckon, for Jesus. He's a great God.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.